Blog Talk Radio.
Even in extreme conditions, nobody wants to wear a greasy mosquito spray. Try new Off Deep Woods Dry Repellent. The same proven protection of Off Deep Woods, but with a formula that feels dry, not oily or greasy like ordinary long-lasting repellents. Take comfort to the extreme. New Off Deep Woods Dry keeps bugs off. S.C. Johnson.
Somebody asked the question, say, can God use me? See, I'm so insignificant. Can God use me? Yeah, I don't have a pretty voice. Can God use me? I don't have a lot of pretty clothes to wear. Can God use me? The answer comes, God can use anybody that want to be used, huh? All you got to do is want to be used.
He chose me. He chose me. Out of all that he could have of you. Hallelujah. He chose.
mama, can I get a witness here? Can I hear somebody say yes? Woo!
Excuse me, Lord. In that valley.
Vernon sitting there. Come here. Come here, Vernon. Right now. Give her a hand. He can use me.
Rockabilly Nation, this is your Honeybee's official American songbook. And of course, I am your host, the legendary DJ Olasky. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, 516-453-9133. What we're going to do is press 1 to join the conversation. And it's brought to you by the great people at Ngozi Time Multimedia. Tonight, the United States Department of Justice has helped me tonight to come up with a justice program for you this evening. The title is Black on Black Crime, the Cause, the Consequences, and the Cures. We start with an annotation. Black on Black crime has reached a critical level, a human rights level, and a health risk level. It is a problem which causes and consequences and responses are explored by this show tonight. Although the black community is not responsible for the external conditions that systematically create the breeding situation for crime, the community has the responsibility of doing what I think it can to attack the problem from within. My response is needed because such crime creates mistrust, uncertainty, fear, and anxiety in our community. More blacks are killed by other blacks in 2023 than died in the entire 9-year Vietnam War. Such crime has driven businesses and jobs from the community. Property crimes alone have cost blacks millions of dollars annually. But most importantly, the young have been profoundly affected by these crimes. They are often most the perpetrators and the victims. Such underlying causes of crime as racism and oppression manifest themselves in high unemployment rates. The majority of first offenders are out of work, drug addiction, the breakdown of the urban family, and a unjust criminal justice system, which shows more compassion for white victims of crime than for black victims, and which punishes black criminals more severely than white. In addition, the prison system serves as a training ground for further crime, and the media may contribute to the crime problem by portrayals of violence in movies and on television. Responses to the problem include the push for excellent programs, community involvement programs, reformation of the criminal justice system in a whole to deal severely with criminals, development of a national plan for alleviating the economic ills of the ghettos, and a reformation of religious values. That's what we're dealing with tonight. We're going to have our panel come on. I have some very, very surprising special guests, so we're going to bring on our first panel because they are right now always with me every night here at the wonderful WBNN. And, of course, we want to go to a person who's a rookie to our network, the outstanding Jetty Atrick. How are you tonight?
Blessed, brother. I am blessed, brother. Oh, how are you living, brother?
Let's get right to the business at hand, and we go right to the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcast and Lifetime Achiever, Huni Bakatun, tonight.
Hey, peace, peace, and abundant divine blessings. How you doing, Hall of Fame, four-time and rest of my brothers on the panel tonight and the listening audience?
Yes, indeed. Let's get down on business. We have a very special guest. The first guest I want to bring on is a charter member of the network, gentlemen. A gentleman that was here from the on start of this outstanding network from February 2013 to March of 2014, the outstanding Mr. Simeon Myers tonight. Simeon, how are you tonight? And welcome.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing good. I'm feeling all right. It's a good day. Okay. And I like the topic, so definitely.
Yes,
I love it.
So, Jetty and Huni, you know, of course, this is our brother who started our network with, you know, Ricky R. Jones, Antonia Bass, you know, Minister Audrey Dennis, King Lozada, and Dar Henderson. I want Huni Bakatun to talk to this young man, a trailblazer, who started with us in this outstanding network. Talk to Simeon tonight in your opinion about how the charter, what the charter members mean to you, Huni, since you've been here for more than 6 years.
Actually, it means the world to me. I had an opportunity to actually hear one of the files that you did. And I'm telling you, you are definitely one of the ones that laid one of the building blocks for a solid foundation that we have today. So I definitely take a bow out of the utmost respect for you, and thank you so much for being on tonight.
And, of course, what more can I say?
Yes, sir.
And, of course, we're going to go to Jetty Atrack, who's a rookie to this network, and, you know, how you feel about the charter members, rookie class of 2023.
Hey, brother, like I say, man, for those who don't know, I'm a reinstated. I'm here to listen more than I talk. You know, I'm blessed to be able to be around alumni, distinguished minds such as yourselves, and even one of the day ones, the prestigious opportunity for me to be able to share this platform with you, brother. I salute you, give you your flowers, and I'm here once again. listen more than I talk, but also to contribute respectively.
Let's get down on business. We're going to have our conversation tonight, Black on Black Homicide, a psychological political perspective from Olatsky. My annotation tonight, guys. Black homicide rates are 7 to 8 times those of whites. So blacks have a rate of poverty only 4 to 5 times that of whites. Tony Bakasun, how you feel about that? And the first of our part of second part of annotation. Let's go to reform right now.
All right. Now, when it comes to reform, a lot of it has to do with the so-called leaders in our immediate neighborhoods, starting with that. And right now, the religious leaders, and I really hold them accountable. Matter of fact, I really, really have held them accountable for the last 38 years. But it's more important today is because the leaders or those proposing as leaders aren't doing anything to really, really liberate the minds, the spirits, and the bodies of our people. They continue to reinforce these white privilege and these white power structure when it comes to their form of everything white is right. Either they're going to do it subliminally or they're going to also do it the other way, not even realizing that. Unfortunately, a lot of the leaders are quicker to take a bow while they continue to live well, but the congregation that has been supporting these leaders hold these people accountable. You got to start holding them accountable. But more importantly, you, if you are under a leader that's not reinstilling the love that we once had for ourselves and each other, then you need to get on up out of there. It's no excuse not to in this day and time.
All right. That sounds wonderful, Hall of Famer. We'll go right to Simeon Myers tonight. And Simeon, let's talk about it, man. You know, you've been a trailblazer for a lot of years, man. I've known you, brother, for almost 11 years. You've been part of this outstanding network in history for more than 10 years as a charter member. What do you think about the annotation tonight? You know, black homicide rates are 7 to 8 times those of whites, though blacks have a rate of poverty only 4 to 5 times that of white.
I mean, it is a lot of us killing each other, but it's, we don't get a break from media. Media, anything, they keep an eye scope on us. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in white communities, but they never catch. They cover that stuff up. But us, they any little thing. And then some of the things are stereotypes. But I think the thing that in this time of decade, in this time and this generation, what black people need to do, we need to get on code with each other. And that's my solution to it. And the code is basically, you know how white people have a code when they're talking and the black person come in the room, they stay quiet. That's called code without even saying. That's them getting on code with each other. So I think black people need to get back on code where we have a code. And I think and the other thing is this: I don't think black people, if we don't have a goal or something that's productive, if the black people are, if we're not productive, we need something that's productive. And what I mean basically is that we shouldn't get around black people if we're not doing something productive.
All right, now, I hear you. And I hear you, Simeon. Go ahead, brother. I hear you, brother. All right.
Yeah, I just think that we need to get on code because believe it or not, I would say this, we got no allies. Foundational black Americans, I'm talking about descendants of slaves in this country, we are by ourselves and we have to learn how to get on code with each other and work together. Okay, they just got rid of affirmative action, which we're not even tripping on because it ain't really working for us. They were just giving it to immigrants and other people that were just coming into this country, and this is our land, this is our country, trust me, this is our land, and we've been here for a very long time. And it is up to us, and you know, like you said, the crime on the news, it is up to us to stop our children from doing this crime. You know, when watch the news and stuff, I hear people saying, somebody help us, police, law enforcement. That's not their job. Listen, if they wanted to stop, listen, we know when law enforcement want to stop something, they stop something. Okay? You know? So it's up to us as a community to stop whatever's going on with our children and our, and you know what? And I'm going to say this too. This is going to be a little controversial. Somebody might get mad at me. Oh, God. Here we go.
Hey, be yourself, man. You're a charter member.
When you have a community. Right. You have a community. Ooh. Because we know that the new image of the black family is a single mother and children. And when you have a bunch of single mothers running the black community, you get children that are out of order. They have their men that carry women emotions. So by any little somebody step on their shoe or push them or something like that, they begin to, because they're around their mothers and the fathers are not there. And this is what happens, because this is why you need the male figure in the black community, and we got to get off of this gender stuff, because they're trying to get us all confused with that. Sisters, especially, the white men know that y'all be by yourselves, and y'all be on this thing where I could do everything by myself, and they know, and when these white men attack you, ain't no brothers there to help you. So we got to get off of that, and the reason why what's going on, a lot of this violence is because we are the only community that our leaders are women. That's some deep.
All right,
stuff. What do y'all think?
You just get a whole mouthful. Class of 2013.
Yeah, I'm trying not to talk too much. A lot, though.
Yeah, it's all right. Here, now we're gonna go to Jetty A-Track for a second, because you know you heard the charter member Jetty. We go right back to the annotation again. Black homicide rates are 7 to 8 times those of whites. Okay, though blacks have a poverty rate of 4 to 5 times that of whites. Talk to us tonight right here on Deadly Nation.
Well, you know, listening to my fellow brothers break down knowledge and drop gems, you know, I gotta follow instead, you know, charging the leaders, charging the household. But I'm a tap dance on some controversial shoes myself, brothers. You know what I mean? And for the listeners out there, y'all might not like this, but you know, we're talking also industry, you know what I mean? And by industry, I mean, you know, we all know that slaves came in and built America into what America is today. You know what I'm saying? From the Asians to the railroads to the Africans and the plantations, you know what I mean? America has always been an industrialized country. You know what I mean? A melting pot from Europe, you know what I'm saying? From Spain, you know what I mean? And we are still playing the game that has been institutionalized in this country as if it was our game to play in the first place. And by that I mean it's going to take a lot more than voting to make change, y'all. You know what I mean? I'm not here to preach that you shouldn't vote. I'm not here to preach that. But I am here to say that if you think that just voting and sitting down on your ass is going to be the change that you want to see in your community, you are dead set wrong backwards, and you are also responsible for some of the nonsense that's going on out here. I'll break it down to you like this. Real true story. When my mother was still around, she went to the hospital for 2 months. And at that time, you know, she got a new kidney. She had to go to rehab and everything. A lot of money cut off because a mainstay of the money that I was receiving was being taken care of her from the state. I was taking care of her. And once I'm not taking care of her no more and the hospital is, I don't get paid. And that was like a third, if not half, of our income. So when she came back, the only thing that we had was her SSI checks. And we have bills, and we have a lot of other things, food expenses. We had a lot of other things that we had to take care of. So I had to hit the streets, you know what I mean, doing odd jobs, doing a whole bunch of other stuff. It was my brother. Shout out to Clean Clean in Northeast Philadelphia, Clean Clean. This brother, he is a real humble brother. He does details for people. He takes under the dollar at times because a lot of people in the neighborhood didn't respect him. It took him for me to go to him to put me onto a job with an Indian dude who ran a warehouse for me to be able to get paid under the table every day for me to run with him into the country, I mean into the city, to pick up bags of rice and to drop off food into various Indian restaurants and getting paid by the day, like sometimes $80, sometimes $90 a day. I say what I say because we need to be able to mobilize and have an industry amongst our own and be selfish or selfless about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to say, hey, support us because we're black. No, support us because we'll look after you. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people out here waving the red. It's a lot of people out here waving the red, black, the red, green, and the black flag. But when they join their outfit, or when you show support for them, it's all nothing but power towards their cause, and they're giving very little back, and they're playing the same game as the same people who has oppressed for many, many years and who have mastered this game. You got to be selfless with our resources within the community, and we got to be able to once again to mirror what the brothers were saying as far as institutionalize and bring about that trust. We got to bring about that trust to us and being able to show love and say, hey, I got a job for you here, or hey, I'm going to look for you a job for here, or yo, work with us. We going to break the bread 50-50, this, that, and the third, you know?
All right. And, of course, you know, after our annotations tonight, we'll take all callers after we come up with, perspectives. So all callers, hold on. We'll have you on at the end of the program. And, of course, we go back into our abstract part of our program right after this. And, of course, you know, it's funny that our brother said, you know, sometimes you got to go out and get yours to help those. You know what I mean? And that's what he did. And sometimes this man can give you water. Twist. I hear you. And sometimes, you know, you got to go to something, man, you know, that was not from the well. And of course, we go back to our abstract part of our program. Today, homicide is the leading cause of death among young black men and contributes significantly to the short lifespan of the black male. About 90 to 80% of the cases, black man was killed by another black. And about 52 of the murder victims were acquainted with their family. Just as we except that suicide victims are psychologically impaired, we must acknowledge that the murderer is similarly impaired. And blacks, for environmental and political reasons, are likely to reflect emotional predispositions that allow them to be more ready to become a homicide statistic. Projected self-hatred facilitates, you know, blind rage and gives the perpetrator of the violent attack a sense of legitimacy and justification. In addition, blacks have been indoctrinated by a criminal justice system which places higher value on a white life than a black life. While psychological studies of homicide offenders and victims, you know, it's difficult and not easily quantifiable, but it is also important to explore such variables in the black community. Violence programs focus on crime and violence prevention. Therefore, we must do more than alleviate social economic ills in the black community. We must pay attention as well to negative psychological dynamics in the black experience that contribute to inter-scene victimization. The black community in particular is in dire need of homicide prevention centers with programs of prevention, research, and treatment. And that is my authoric abstract of the proper position tonight. What more can we say? We go right back to Mr. Simeon Myers, 2023 charter member of this Beverly Nation, on my abstract dissertation tonight.
Yeah, man, look, it's like this. I'm big on the solution thing. I say, as black people, we're so used to white people taking care of all the problems for us. And I ask, this is the question that I ask. I ask everybody. If white people disappear off the planet, will we be able to operate everything in America? That means the electric grid, the gas, the plumbing, all of that stuff. Will we be able to operate that? And this is why it's so important for us to get on code, to be able to control our destiny. We want them doing everything. We want them to police our children. We want the government to discipline our children. We want them to help us out. And this is why, because we, you know how it was like in the 70s and stuff, the fathers were there. The men were there. The violence was down because, we had groups like the Black Panthers. We had groups like the Black Liberation. A lot of people don't know about the Black Liberation Army. These brothers were serious, and we took leadership and we took care of our community, and we were better off when we were segregated. Now I know that's the, a lot of people may not want to hear that. We were better off because we had our own thing. And we was doing our own thing, and we knew each other. We could trust each other. So a lot of the crime also is because of the lack of trust, okay? Our religious organizations, everything is infiltrated. We know that. I'm not even going to go into that. But y'all know it's poison. So the only way for us to stop this crime that is going on with our young folks, we going to have to stop it. We going to have to get a hold of our children and not be afraid of them either. Talk to them, okay? And all of this, whew, not only that, man, so much. You got the BET Awards. It was ratchet, ratchet
no
everywhere. I have never seen
thanks
the BET
to, thank,
Awards.
Listen,
like,
thanks to Viacom. Thank you, Viacom, CBS, Paramount. Or did I put out names? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're good. The BET Awards. Now I like twerking, but 24/7, it's like a sign of rebellious now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they twerk at everything. They twerk like it was one. We got to look at our culture right now and just really, really look at it with a scope. It was a black man who owned this black restaurant. I think it was in Atlanta, and the girls got on the table and start twerking. Now, he's trying to operate a business that's respectable. He said, look, y'all can't do that. He talked to the girls, and after a while, he kind of got rude and started cussing and stuff at the women and everything. That's when it got really out of hand. But there's a time, so it's like our youth want Freaknik 24/7.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
And so it's up to us. Our leaders, we don't need a leader. I'm going to tell you why black people don't need a leader. Because the leaders have failed us. The people in Washington have failed us. What black people need today is reparations, definitely. We do need them reparations. The only thing that's going to be the leader for us, the thing that needs to be the leader for us is what I said earlier. I said we have to get on code with each other. We have to get on code with each other. White people move in a certain way. White people don't have leaders because they have a code of conduct. They have a code that they stick by. You know, even the white woman, mm-hmm. she has agreement with her white man. They have a you know it, you feel it. You know the crazy thing is this. Watch this. Watch this. White people are more safer when they come to black neighborhoods, but black people are more in danger when they go to white neighborhoods. Why? Because they get on cold when they black person walk through their neighborhood. They already on you. They already looking at you. they already got their eyes spotted on you. They tell them,
right.
and you know, they start dog whistling to each other. So it was the thing that to stop the violence, and the violence is serious. It is it might be some of the hip hop, some of the music too, some of the music.
You think women, Brother Simmons, you say some of the music? Have you heard all the drill and trap music that's on the radio? We talking about, you know,
yes,
professional,
sir. Yes, sir.
Over the air A&R.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we also have to look at who is promoting the music. It's the record companies that's owned by what? Who? What corporation? White corporation that's telling them to push this type of music. And who goes to the concert? White kids.
Yeah, sure it is. That's where the money is.
So that's why I said when people say, oh, it's the rappers. I said, no. It's the labels. And the labels are owned by white people. The machine, as the people call it, the machine. They are the ones, and they make money off of this. You got to understand, because we don't control hip-hop. We should have. In the 80s, we should. That's the time that we had control of the music.
Yeah,
We should have gatekeeped our culture. Now you got, it's so crazy. Now, because we did not gatekeep our culture, right, because hip-hop is a black American music. That's our stuff. Now you got people like Busta Rhymes talking about Caribbeans creating hip hop. That's a lie. Then you got Puerto Rican saying they created hip hop. That's a lie. That comes from our struggle. That's our stuff.
I gotta go there, Simmons. I'm gonna give that because you know why? Because he can talk a country mile, and we got. And I love it though, and it's funny, Cool Herc, because you say that, right, and I know you said it, you one of the three founding fathers of hip hop. You know you're wrong, right? Because you took James Brown records and, you know, Junior Walker, you know, and the All-Stars and, you know, all that music, right? Tom and Burke, all the deep, stacked music, and you did your hip-hop and shows at 1525 Cedric Avenue, Bronx. Stop playing with yourself, bro. Come on now. You happen to be, you know, a Jamaican-American that lived in the Bronx, but the music that you created came from R&B blacks. So stop playing with yourself. All right, we go right to and Cool Herc, you know, you got my email. We know each other. All right, let's go right to Jetty A-Track right now. And man, look, guys, you only got 2 hours of the show, man. Y'all, I'm telling you, y'all can't go on and on because we're crazy. We got to be off the air, but I'm not going to stifle and I'm not going to quench the spirit either. Jetty A-Track, talk about my argument tonight on black-on-black homicide, a psychological and political perspective right here in Beverly Nation.
You know what? While the brother Simeon was talking, he used a key word, and it clicked something in my spirit when he said the word poison. I was reminded of the Nas record from Lost Tapes, Poison, and the stuff that Nas was kicking, you know what I'm saying? I agree. The one nuance that I have to put into the pot, if you will, is I don't know if I can all the way agree with the fact that black people should not have a leader, only because I'm not talking about political leader when I say a leader. You know what I mean? I mean a leader going back to the household. You know what I mean? Back to back to what Simeon was talking about earlier. You know what I mean? Back to what I know the brother Huni Bakatun, you know what I mean, resonates with as far as the father, the mother, and the household. You know what I mean? Back to putting God in the household. Let's be for real. You know what I mean? We flawed. We are flawed. We are flawed as human beings. One of the main reasons that we have a culture in which the youth are fearless of death which allows them to do so many of the destructive things that they do, because they don't believe in the tomorrows, because they don't have a concept of faith anymore. There's no concept of faith anymore. There's no I'm going to struggle and swim through the river of like Andy Dufresne, you know what I mean? Shout out to Jay Electronica, you know what I mean? There's no concept of that no more. It's, look, I want to get my money. I need to get my money now. This is how we're going to get it. This is how we're going to get to the block, pitch, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to rob somebody, give them money quick, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to snake my family member because I know he got bread, she got bread, blah, blah, blah. That's what it is. There's no concept of faith. There's no concept of putting in hard work and smart work, not just hard work, but smart work. Who can we go to? I had this conversation once again. I got to bring it to my mom because my mom wasn't all the way on board with me being a hip-hop head. You know what I mean? When I was singing, it was cool. When I started rapping, my mom was like, whoa. And I understand. I get that. Like having a child myself, you know what I mean, and growing up and seeing what hip-hop is. And hip-hop is a multi-diversified word and term as well. So I got to say hip-hop as far as hip-hop music is, I get it. But I had to talk to my mom. I was like, Mom, point out one person in the family. Point out one member in the family who, if I can go to, I can say, hey, I need a loan for this amount. Or, hey, you know what I mean, spot me this amount of money and I'll change what I'm doing right now. And she couldn't. And that's one of the things that cripples us, that paralyzes us in our community. The block runner is the one who's looking out, and it's the evils. Straight Jay-Z is the evils. You know what I mean? Because they can go out and get a job from the block runner quicker than they can go out and get a job that really means more than just the paycheck that they got to wait for every two weeks and see the government take a third of that. And they get left with the amount where they're looking at it like, why am I slaving for this? There's no family members. There's no connections to people that will be able to be like, yo, you know what? Let me put you on game. Let me let you understand what the logistics of this means. And then, yo, look, put this in some stocks. You know what I mean? Put 5% of your savings away every paycheck. Let your money stack up. Invest that money into this. There's no people who's putting us onto these games like that. That's putting us onto real financial literacy. That's putting us onto real financial development. You dig what I'm saying? And don't say that you're going to be able to get it from school, because you got to have the knowledge of this thing that you're lacking for in the first place before you can even go to college and accept the fact that you have this void. They're not going to tell you in college that, hey, you need to take this program for this. You got to know already what it is that you want to get before they can tell you, oh, okay, you want to get this program. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Okay. That's a good reasoning. That's good. I love that, Jetty, what you're saying. And, you know, Hall of Famer two times, Huni Bakatun, talk on this topic and, you know, black-on-black homicide, a psychological, political perspective from you.
Wow, man, I'm really, really impressed by what everybody said so far. So let's get right to it. There's a saying that many of us look alike, but here's the difference. It's not the same when it comes to thinking alike. Spirituality has also went in many different ways. It shouldn't be that way, but unfortunately it is. But let's deal with why it's so easy. Right? Why it's so easy for some of the people who look just like us, and that's a key point right there. You got many people who look just like us, but they don't think the same way. And some of the youth that's out here haven't been on earth long enough to have this much hate and envy and jealousy, all the things that they need to hate themselves and each other. Right? Now, when I look at us, I always separate us into three types of people. You got some people who know who and what we are. We don't need the white power structure. We don't need no other people on this earth to tell us who and what we are, because we know. We know who and what we are, right? Then you got people that have became so addicted to other people doing and thinking for them that they refuse to do and think for themselves, right? But then you're dealing with the original incarnated devils. Those are the ones the soulless bastards that's out there that's killing up the innocent. These are the main people that we got to go, and that's going to answer the question that brother posed. We existed millions and millions of years before the white race or any other race was even thought of. So, yes, we can do that. But it's been so far removed because the average person out of 100% of us, it's probably less than 5 to 10% of us actually know that. And if you actually know it, how many people really accept that? You get what I'm saying? You can know something all day, but if you don't fully comprehend, just like in the scriptures, also reparations was also mentioned. But something greater than reparations was already put in place because no other people that the scriptures mentioned that you were being bondage for 400 years, and once you come out of that bondage, you're going to come out with great substance. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. How can you come out with great substance? And this is for the leaders who should know better. They're teaching or claim to be teaching from a religious book that they claim to have faith in, right? But they keep reinstilling the white power structure on everything white is right. Or on one hand, they try to say color don't matter, on one hand, right? And on the other hand, it's okay to put up all of these Caucasian images in the place of a Messiah figure. You understand? From the household all the way up to the so-called leadership, be it a synagogue, church, or masjid. Those type of thoughts has got to go. I don't care how long it's been here. And if you refuse to teach that we are the original people, first of all, let me make it plain, Hall of Fame four times. First of all, we existed before the scriptures was even thought of, right? And
that's right.
We're the people that the scriptures mention. And when it's all over, we're also going to be the people that's going to be here when it starts all over again. So bottom line is, even if we go to war with everybody else on this planet, the main one that we got to focus on is the soulless bastards that's cloaked in the image of you and I. And we got to be able to deal with them before they let loose or cut loose in our household, in our neighborhood. We got to be able to see them. We got to be able to feel them coming. And have the ability to take your head off with no hesitation, no excuse. You understand? Those of us who are serious is not going to allow an enemy in any form. I don't care how they look. You got to be prepared. You can sing and dance all you want to, but you got to be able to perceive evil. This is the ability that we have if
That's
you
right.
start playing.
Hall of Fame two times. I love that. I'm going to come on with a little bit of devil advocacy because I'm going to start some mess because I'm a journalist. I'm going to go right to the next track. But think about this. Let this annotation, warm your spirit. Reasons why black-on-black crime is not a valid argument against the Black Lives Movement. O'Neal Twins, take it away.
I'll wear a smile as I count the miles. I've been saved by love. I used to hear my mother say, one thing I've done wrong, I've stayed a sinner too long. Oh, Lord. I've been saved by love. I never shall forget the day when he washed my sins away. Oh, Lord. I've been saved by love. Yeah, yeah. I've been saved. Save by your love. been saved by His love. Hallelujah. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross. Can I get a witness here? I've been saved by His love. I can tell everybody. I've been saved by His love. Saved by the Master's love. I've been saved by His love. Say, oh dear, how you can say this? Amazing grace.
On air from Lagos, Nigeria, call in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. It's your boy, brother, O, big boy. Of course, you know, overlord of the turntables, DJ Honey the Olad. And we're here tonight with My American Songbook, dealing with tonight's topic tonight and what can we do, more can we take. Black on black crime, the causes, the consequences, and the cures tonight. And, of course, we'll go back to my devil advocacy, right? Reasons why black-on-black crime is not a valid argument against the Black Lives Movement. And let's go right to it, to my thesis tonight. The Black Lives Matters movement focus has always been to advocate black people killed at the hands of the police. However, a common question I raise to the Black Lives Matter movement is why the movement isn't as vocal when a black person is killed by another black person. The argument is being used tonight is that until black activists address black-on-black crime, They have no right to be outraged over police violence. While you mostly see this being used by conservatives and right-wing media, even Democratic politicians use black-on-black crime to deflect attention off corrupt police forces. I say, since many recorded instances of police brutality from Atlanta have gone viral, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has been very vocal in her opposition to the people who have looted the city during BLM protests, famously yelling for protests to go home in a press conference after demonstrations vandalized the CNN Center. Most recently, after an 8-year-old girl was killed at the same Wendy's where Rashard Brooks was murdered, Keisha stated in the aftermath, "We're doing each other more harm than any officer on this force." Now, I say many people think that wagging the finger at black people for killing each other is going to fix the problem. However, using black-on-black crime to delegitimize the Black Lives Movement is not rational whatsoever. And here are the 5 reasons why black-on-black crime is not a valid argument against the BLM. I'm just going to use the 2 number one first. I know a lot of people be pressing one on this one. I can't wait because this is what I do, man. I cause conflict for resolve. Black-on-black crime is literally just a crime. Oftentimes, when people bring up black-on-black crime, they're implying that black people are more violent towards each other than any other race. This is wrong because every race is likely to be killed by their own due to proximity. 82.4% of white people are killed by white people. This is due to the fact that many neighbors in America are still segregated by race. Of course, if you one day decide to kill someone, you're probably going to kill someone who lives in your area and looks just like you. Why is it that no one mentions white-on-white crime when a white person kills a white person? Just because the phrase black-on-black crime is only used to stomp down the black community and no one else. Now, I can't wait to hear Jenny Atrax take on this one. And then Hall of Fame Mahoney Buckethoon, and then Simeon Myers, my devil advocacy right here on Beverly Nation. I'll let you go ahead and talk.
Yeah, we're going to dance a lot. We dancing on controversial shoes tonight. I love all you brothers because, tonight we got our dancing shoes on. You know what I mean? We're going to save Yon Glover this thing, for real, for real.
How you feel about what I said, man? Black on black crime is not a valid argument against the lives. The Black Lives Matter movement. What's your opinion on that, brother?
It's simple. It can't be because the Black Lives Matter movement is a fallacy. You know what I mean? It can't be.
Tell me your reasons on that. Again, all the folks out there worldwide, I say why black on black crime is not a valid argument against the Black Lives Matter movement. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a valid argument against a movement that, one, if you Google it, the head of the Black Lives Matter movement ain't even black. Let's keep things all the way funky. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say it's a fallacy. Look. Let me put things in a real light perspective for the listeners. When I say the Black Lives Matter movement is a fallacy, I'm not saying that what it means, and I'm not saying that the ethos. And I'm not saying that the spirit of it is false. No, we understand this. We understand it so much that this is subconscious. This is so sub. You know what I mean? This is like second nature. You know what I mean? Like, we know Black Lives Matter. We knew Black Lives Matter before people was shouting it. Duh. You know what I mean? We understand this. But when you galvanize under a banner, and then this banner is monetized. Right? And anytime this banner is used, somebody is getting paid because there is a movement to bring about finances from a community or from communities in order for something to move. There is someone at the top that receives these finances, right? This is economics 101. This is economics 101, people. You know what I'm saying? So if there was a black person at the top of it, I would give more credence to it. There isn't. That's one. Number two, let's keep things all the way funky as well as far as what it is. You know what I mean? And shout out to Mahoney Buckethoon for saying this, because this is another thing about spiritual warfare that a lot of us need to be attuned for. The veil's been removed, y'all. The veil's been removed. You know what I mean? It's no longer cool to be ignorant of the fact that spiritual influences and spiritual warfare is a thing now. You know what I'm saying? When you tell the real truth to people, it messes with them. Of course, you will be able to tell. You go up to certain people and you'll be like, you'll go like, you know, man, black on black crime is a thing, and then they automatically, like, they're revolted by it. They automatically have these arguments and things. So they like, look, I go into another stage in another storybook of mine and whatnot. You know what I mean? An old ass relationship of mine that God bless me, I got my ass about her. You know, I told this woman the straight dead up truth about herself, and you know what she did? She convulsed in front of me as if she was possessed. She convulsed in front of me as if she was possessed. This is happens when you talk the truth to devils. You feel what
I'm
saying?
Okay, wait a minute. I'm gonna put you back on ice for a second, because I'm gonna go to Huni Bakatun right now. Matter of fact, no, I'm not going to Huni Bakatun right now. I'm gonna go to my brother from another mother, Simeon Myers, because now I will give you more of my devil advocacy. Because I'm starting my mess tonight. Because these are the things that's out there, guys. These are the questions that a lot of times are not talked in the black community. They're talked in other neighborhoods. And you never hear these conversations. So I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to give it to you right now. And let me tell you something. You could be as black as a crow or white as snow and don't learn or don't know and have no dough and you can't grow. Let's go to it. Sometimes black-on-black crime is literally just crime. Sometimes when people bring up black-on-black crime, they're implying that black people are more violent towards each other than any other race. Okay? Again, it goes right back there. So now, is black-on-black crime a systematic, Semitic racism? Then sure, black-on-black crime is often pinned on black people. The logic is maybe you guys just stop killing each other, the problem would end. What people don't stop to think is the root of black-on-black crime. Black people are killing each other at high rates, okay? It's a direct output of white supremacy. Crime is a result of a social economic status, meaning that if you're poor, you're more likely to commit a crime. Black people are one of two racial groups with the highest poverty rates, right? Along with Native Americans in the 1960s, because of white supremacist ideas, all white schools were given more funding than schools of color. This is a fact, right? My advocacy is devilish. Even after legal segregation in schools ending, even today, research shows that school districts, I'm talking about 2023, are, you know, where the majority of students enrolled are students of color, receive $23 billion less than educated funding predominantly white school districts. So if you live in a low-income neighborhood and go to an underfunded school with an unqualified and underpaid teacher, you'll be less inclined to pay attention and more inclined to drop out. Oh, truth hurts, huh? Mm-hmm. Look at the file. It's the truth. Without an education, you'd be less likely to get a job. Without a job, you'd be living in poverty. That person then may resort to petty crimes like selling drugs in order to earn money. Then they start on a path to committing more violent crimes. And if they do decide to turn their right life around, what's their chance of being hired after committing a violent crime? This is a vicious cycle, Beverly Nation. All the people around the world that's listening to me, your boy Olasky. This is a vicious cycle originally created by the oppressor that has killed millions of black people. And someone's been dying right now as I'm on the line. Black people did not start this problem. So why is it always blamed on us? Instead of waging the finger at black people, we should instead focus on the problem, not the people. Let's go to Mr. Simeon Myers on my invitation tonight right here on the American Songbook.
Yeah, it's you gotta understand, when they say black on black crime, that's a white supremacist talking point to deflect, you know, on certain conversations that accuse them of things that they've done, because the numbers are definitely higher when it comes to murder and stuff with black, with white people, because when they kill in mass.
Is that a fact?
A lot of times, yes, that's a fact. Because see, a lot of times, can I talk raw real quick?
This is the American Songbook. This is the American Songbook. You know, this is what we do here, right here.
A lot of times, when black people kill people, it's because the nigga done violated. Something got violated in the majority. Sometimes it's not petty. Yeah? Sometimes because somebody done violated and did something. Now, when white people kill, I'm just going to talk on that real quick. When white people kill, it's because the kid's not getting attention in school. He feels like the girl not talking to him. He's excluded. He feel isolated. He wants to take everybody, as many people he wants to take with him. He sees a Batman movie. He goes in the theater. He wants to kill everybody, okay? Or he sees a soft target of people in the state of in New York and Buffalo, and sees soft targets. That white people kill in mass. Black people don't kill in mass. We don't. So that's how I know that our murder rate is not higher than white folks, okay? And we have to understand, we have to stop throwing that around, black-on-black crime, because that's just a stereotype, and that's just a talking point that white supremacists use against us. Look at Chicago. They always mention Chicago when certain groups, and we have to also take an account that we got also immigrants in this country too that do a lot of crime. A lot of these, and they black, but they're not like us. I know. Yeah. It hurts certain people. Come from other countries, like some of these rapists on the train. Brothers ain't raping. Brothers from America, black men, foundational black American men from America, ain't raping no chicks on those septic trains and stuff like that. Some of them stuff. You look up the background, look at them names. These dudes from Ghana, the Caribbean. I said, y'all got to start doing some of that research on it. Look at the foreheads too. The forehead tell you a whole lot. Hey, wait a minute. He don't got a black American hairline. His hairline kind of back there. So that'll tell you. That's a lot to tell you.
What?
Start looking up.
Timmy, that's crazy. What? This is the American songbook, y'all. Timmy and Myers. Remember now. This stuff is what he did 10 years ago. Go ahead, Timmy. Go ahead. What?
Look, you start listening. Some of these crimes. And they say, and because they black and stuff, and see, and this is my problem with some of the black immigrants that come from the diaspora and stuff. Sometimes, see, when they have a good achievement, they blast it. They take credit for it, and they would say, a Ghanaian, he graduated and he did something good. But when they do bad, they want to say, oh, nigga, we all did him. Brother, we all did him. No. I want you to take your L's just like you take your wins. Because a lot of these crimes is not black Americans. But you know, everybody come in this country and dump their garbage on us when it's a crime because the person looked dark. But I said, go look them names up. Let's look at some of them names. And let's look. Hey, wait a minute, brother. I see a Caribbean flag in the background. Wait a minute, bro. You know what I mean? So we got to look at stuff like this sometimes. And it's sad that we got to do that. And this is why I say that black people have to circle our wagons in this country today.
All right.
Because
I hear you.
Speaking of Black Lives Matter. Because a lot of the LBG stuff that they pushing, right? A lot of that is being pushed by people who they're black like us, but they're not from this. They're not from America, but they come and push that agenda on us with they're using these people and stuff because they can't do this in their country and stuff. You know what I mean? When they come to America, we get all the bullshit that other people, bring to this country, and we get the blame. So we have to understand that the propaganda of black on black crime or look at them niggas, they doing this and they doing that and they doing that, they doing this. A lot of that stuff not us. So we gotta start separating and delineating.
Okay.
From that, and this is where I start talking about getting on code with each other.
Right. You know, it's funny. I got to go there, man, because, you know, of course, I'm still starting my mess. You know, my girl's my advocacy, shout out to the University of Southern California getting my education. Listen, black people aren't killing each other because they're black? I say it again in my agitation. Black people aren't killing each other because they're black? We're going to let Willie Barcatoon tackle that because right now, the black nation is a broken vessel.
One thing I don't ever want to forget in life, and that is the day that the Lord saved me. I'm reminded of the story that I once heard about the potter who saw a vessel that had been broken from the wind and the rain. And being a dedicated potter, he sought to put it back together again. That's the way my life was one day. It was broken into many pieces. But one Tuesday morning, Jesus picked up the pieces and put them all back together again and made me a new creature. And that's the way the Lord brought me to the light. And I'd like to pass the story on to you tonight. If my rhyme runs back to that day. The story goes like this. The potter saw a vessel that had been broken from the wind and the rain. But he thought with so much compassion, oh Lord, to put it back together again. But I was that broken vessel, oh my Lord, that no one thought was any good. But I prayed that morning, I said, Lord, you are the potter. Make me over again today, Lord God. This is what the Lord is one day. Jesus picked up the pieces. Oh, yes, it is. My broken heart, that day, this is what the Lord did for me, oh yeah, and he made me a new person, and revived my I like for the choir to tell you about. One day, Jesus picked up the pieces. Jesus picked up the pieces. Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my broken heart. My broken heart.
That day. I never can forget the day.
trying to fix something, the broken vessel is our community, and that's where we're at right now. So let's go right into it. Black people aren't killing other black people because they're black. The Black Lives Matter movement was created to address police violence and racism against black people. When black people kill each other, they're not doing it because of their skin color. In the case of police brutality, there's a clear bias that shows how white officers treat black people compared to white people. This would make police brutality and black-on-black crime incomparable to each other. And I know Mr. Honeybucket has been biting us a bit from all of this tonight because it's a great answer to your question. Hi, honey. How you doing?
Man, you know what? Love you too, Hall of Fame four times. First of all, let me make something clear right quick. First of all the reasons why black people are killing each other starts like this here. Everything black is evil and bad. Oh, it's black outside. It's such a miserable day, right? I can go on and on and on, but black has become such a disgusting thing, right? And also, as a people, we start to feel ashamed of how we originally look in our ancestry and where we came from. First of all, let me make something clear. Now, when I say black, when you hear knowledge of self and kind, from the darkest of the midnight sky, from woolly hair to straight hair, all the way down to an albino with woolly hair to straight hair. All of those variations exist within us. And if you look at that, within the woolly hair, you get your wavy hair, you get your straight hair, you get your loose, tight, thick curl to your loose curl. All of that is us as a people, right? So now, when you strip our people of who and what we are, what we come from, our riches, our resources from ourselves and each other, to all the precious metals and ornaments and all that kind of stuff like that that we didn't fight or don't fight to preserve. You got to get to a point to hell no, as Native Americans, and yes, I have that in my blood as well. You got to get to a point to hell no, you're not going to keep robbing from our natural resources when we were the first ones here in America or anywhere else on this planet. We are native to this planet in regards to wherever we are. My last thing I want to say, because I know some other people want to call in, I want to pose this thought right quick, Hall of Fame.
No, we ain't finished the annotation, man. No, I got brothers on here. No. Such a shit.
I got you. But on the real, look, it's no excuse for us not to love each other, y'all. If we keep depending on another people to educate us and tell us who and what we are and what we come from, first of all, the people through the white power structure, they didn't have our best interest in mind. They had their best interest in mind. You understand? And we got to stop falling for that same game, that same old trick, and start to blame them for them just doing what their nature say. They have the type of nature, they don't need a reason. They can drop a bomb on the whole country or press a button to destroy the only planet we all live on without a reason.
All right. I hear you, Brother Hooney. I hear you, man. And I'm still going into my dissertation annotation right now. Okay? Now, again, as we do for all great debaters and with the college, right? Let's go. Let's resolve. I don't like black-on-black crime. Well, then fix it. While some people try to pretend like they actually care about black-on-black crime, most of them only use the phrase to be argumentative. If you actually care and want to end black-on-black crime, then prove it. Research and find your local anti-gun violence organization if you have the means to donate to them. If you want to be an overachiever, make your own organization and be the change you want to see. Sounds like Ansel Thomas just to me, like that, but I don't know how to use her word there, I'm not biting, but I did it anyway. As far as politicians are concerned, such as Keisha Lance Bottoms, if you actually care about the issue, telling black people to simply not kill each other won't accomplish anything, Mayor. Instead, start making legislation and funding changes that will get to the root of the problem. End the budget for Atlanta's 2024 fiscal year. An additional $5 million is allocated to you to the already $250 million budget given to the Georgia legislation. Yeah, I'm counting. I'm counting. Yeah, I'm counting. Meanwhile, only $50,000 is given for recreation equipment and community centers. What's up, Keisha? You good? Research shows that in a group of 100,000 people, one community program can lead to a 1.2% drop in crime. If you claim to care so much, Mayor Keisha, Lance Bottoms, and majority of black mayors around the country, put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, I go back to Jetty 8-track on that one. Yeah, I did it. I said it. And I'm going to let you say some more. Bye.
I'm be fresh as hell when the feds watching.
I got to say, you know what happened to me. I had to restart my phone and everything. But no, let's get back to the thing. Let's get back to the thing. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. Strictly off of the fact that, once again, we're talking about what's pragmatic. You know what I'm saying? It sounds cool for you to echo and mirror the sentiments regarding the elephant in the room. We all would like for there to be less, to even no violence amongst blacks, amongst the youth in our community. Once again, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out and then go in front of the screen and to echo these sentiments. You know, once again, it takes more than just the passiveness in playing political games in order for us to see the change that's necessary. Reach out to your community. Reach out to your... Look, there are so many things that one could do if not join pre-existing mentorships, if not joining YMCAs, the Boys and Girls Clubs. You could start your own. Reach out to these kids. Reach out to the communities. You have to be able to move in such a way that shows to the fearless that you're fearless as well. That's the only way that respect will be established. You can't be fearful. You can't be just in front of a screen all day and expect to gain respect from anybody. You can't be the ones who's just like throwing eggs at the stage, but you in the nosebleeds, and you can't be touched. You feel what I'm saying? Be in the front.
I feel like I feel with two hands and feet. Listen, I'm gonna let it go on that one, right? I'm gonna let it go on that one, right? Because I'm gonna go. You know, I gotta go to my brother Stevie. This is the one. I've been waiting for this all night long. Because I already know how brother Simeon get down, and I'm gonna make him come out of himself. I'm gonna make him the old school Simeon Myers all over again. He gonna come out here and talk like, you know what I mean? He said, you know, like he said back in 2013, even though now he's an educated guy, but he was just trying to make a point. He said, I'm uneducated. I got power, so I'm gonna make you come out and listen. Because I start my mess. That's what I do.
I'm a journalist.
All right. Black people, can you walk and chew gum at the same time? Black on black crime is only mentioned as a rebuttal to the people being concerned about police brutality. However, what people don't realize is that you can focus on both issues at the same time. Many people ignore the fact that black activists are doing the local grassroots work to end violent crime in black neighborhoods. People like Clever One, by the way, while also protesting police brutality. Now, both are important issues that flag our communities and can be focused on one-on-one. To conclude my thesis tonight, it is very disappointing to see people subscribe to the black-on-black crime narrative, especially black people. We need to analyze how, you know, the language is used as a diverse tactic to make us turn against one another. And both police brutality and black-on-black crime are the results of the same monster, white supremacy and systematic racism. Instead of blaming each other, let's get to the root of the problem and continue to fight for the end of systematic racism. I said what I said tonight. Now go to Simeon Myers, because I know he's biting at the bit. Yeah, Simeon. Go ahead and talk your stuff, brother.
Yeah, like I said, man, listen. This is why I said, I said it earlier about we don't need leaders, because every time we get leaders, sometimes leaders either they get killed or they're coons, they're sellouts, or, you know, they can be compromised. And the best thing for us is to move like other groups of people move, which is getting on code with each other. It's a silent code. When Indian people come here, they have their own Indian thing. They do their thing, okay? When Haitians come here, they even have their own Haitian churches and stuff like that. They do their own thing. They move with each other. I went to Job Corps. When I went to Job Corps, I see the Ethiopians. They hung out with their people. I'm gonna say something that cuts deep. Okay, I no longer get mad at white people being racist, because lions sticks with lions, bears sticks with bears. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem with black people is that we're not racist enough. We don't stick with each other. We don't consider ourselves first.
Wait a minute, brother Myers. I know you're going back to 2013. Now, you just said something that you said back in January of 2014. Did you just say that black people are not racist enough? I got to go. I got to get out. I'm going to mute myself to protect
it. Enough. Because we don't understand the game of racism. White people stick. Listen, ants, you don't see a dog with a lion. You don't see dogs hanging out with lions. Okay? And we have to understand that's why it's called race. And in that organization, that's why when Chinese come here, they spend their money with their people, their group of people. Now, it's all right to do business with white people every here and there, but the main people we do business with is our people. We have to value our culture. As foundational black Americans, we have brought a lot of culture into this country. We have created the modern doorknob, all types of stuff, macaroni, cheese, you name it. We created jazz, gospel, hip-hop, you name it, classical music. Okay. We have a culture, and we have to now, and this is, and now what we have to do, and this is how we stop all the violent stuff, we have to start gatekeeping our culture and valuing our culture, just like other people come here, and they got their flags and stuff like that, and they value their culture. And what I mean by gatekeeping, we should have gatekeeped hip-hop, because now when you don't gatekeep hip-hop, this is what happens. Now you got the now you got the trap music. Now you got the girls just twerking. When we don't gatekeep our stuff, and because hip-hop had dignity to it. It had respect to it. BET had respect to it. And maybe Tyler Perry would do something better with it, because I heard Tyler Perry purchased BET. But the last
awards with the rap. We'll see. You know, I'm gonna cut you right now, because we got some calls gonna come on and I still got some tracks to play. But I'll tell you this much, you know, Viacom, CBS, Paramount, y'all need to go back to kindergarten and go all 12 grades, and then, you know, graduate high school all over again, because that's what we saw at BET Awards was travesty. Lord have mercy. Call us next, y'all.
And just like Honey Bakatoon always says, it's time for open, you know, adventures. And what more can we do? Open these lines up through these calls. Now, caller. No, of course, it's 11:04. And, of course, you know, we'll keep it to 3 minutes. So I bring on the final dissertation from my wonderful co-host, and then it goes through time. Caller number one. I know you've been waiting and biting at the bit. This is, you know, Honey Bee Olansky's American Songbook.
Hey, it's Jerry Petito.
Hey, Jerry.
How are you?
Comment tonight on, you know, wonderful rebuttal of something that's near and dear to all of our hearts.
So, okay, yes, I'm white, okay, obviously, and I see things differently.
Yeah, we know that, Jerry. All right, let me shut up.
Okay, baby, I see things differently. But everyone who doesn't know, my daughter-in-law is black, my granddaughter's half black, and my mother's family were all criminals, not my dad's family. So they were murderers, rapists, okay? They were bad people. So I have everything mixed in my family. But here's how I see things. There is a solution. Everything you guys were saying, and especially about teaming up and being, you know, it's important. It's important.
Right.
That is what is needed. You know what I mean? And like even like with my mother's family, I used to say the same thing, like they're just against each other. So anyway, how I see things is this. There's so many successful black people in this country, okay? Steve Harvey was homeless, living in a car. I think he had like 20 bucks in his pocket. Look where he is now, okay? I have protested. Brother O knows. I've been in Trenton, New Jersey several times with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. protesting for all of our rights. So I have gotten off my butt to do things that are important, that are needed to be done. So
are you saying that more people need to get off? Like, wait a minute, you know, I got to go there, right?
Right.
You said that. More people need to get off their butt, Hall of Famer?
Yes. More people need to get off their butts and make a movement. Do something productive. Make a change. Okay? Because, listen, that's what's needed. You know, this racism stuff is horrendous to me. So people have to do something. And, you know, on a lighter note here, you know, people need to love each other, period. Forget the color of skin. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Okay?
And and Jerry, you know, it's funny you said that. You know, there are not a lot of people like you. You have fought with Robert F. Kennedy against racial injustice. We know that. And that's why, you know, you're an integral part of our network. And I love you, man. Nothing you can do about it.
But lastly, let me just say one last thing. Guys, unity is what is needed, unity with each other, with others, unity. But here's the thing, guys, everyone has the opportunity to make changes. Please make changes. Get off your butt. Do something productive. Please.
All right. You heard it from the Hall of Famer herself. Lifetime Achiever of the National Radio Hall of Fame, like Honey Bakatoon, the wonderful Jerry Petito. We go to the next caller right now, and this person is part of the class of 2022, the 2022 Linear New Host of the Year right here at Beverly Nation. For 3 minutes and 50 seconds, he got the floor. Mr. Clever One.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your little cousin got about 60 shots with him and his big-ass Crown Vic playing Meek Mills. But check this out, right? I just want to say this real quick, you know what I'm saying? You know, because first of all, I'm going to just elaborate on the unity and the ununified black people in America. The reason why they ununified is because, first of all, they like mutts, you know what I mean, and the kennel, where they don't know which breed they from, you know what I'm saying? You don't know which imported Negroes you're from, whether you're from indigenous Negro tribes, or if you're from imported Negro tribes. You know what I'm saying? Wherever you are, you don't know who you are. You don't know your grandfathers. You know what I mean? So that's why you ain't unified. You know what I mean? All the people that got the delis up and down the streets, or the poppy stores up and down the streets, the Chinese chicken wing stores up and down the streets, they all come from one culture. You know what I'm saying? People here don't come from one culture because they from a mix of mutts culture. You know what I'm saying? Like how we do puppies out here, we get rid of the mutts because the mutts is lost. They don't know what litter they come from. You dig what I'm saying? So that's how the people out here is. They don't know what litter they come from. That's the number one recipe why they lost. First thing, you know what I'm saying? We got to understand that it ain't no matter what color your skin is or how dark it is. It matters on how dark your heart is. You got black hearts, Black Lives Matter people. Don't make sure your hearts ain't black. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, it don't matter with the skin of your skin tone. It all depends on what's inside of your heart, your color, your heart. If your heart is upright, then your limbs will be upright. If your heart is corrupt, then your limbs will be corrupt, meaning evil is evil. Criminals kill criminals. You know what I mean? There is no ethnicity to that, folks. Okay? I said okay one time. You know what I mean? Now, two, those who are, you know, let's see here. You know what I'm saying? First of all, let's take the streets here. You know what I mean? These real gremlins out here. We got to take those who fought the wars of the streets already. You know what I mean? The decorated protocol of the vets of the streets here is who these gremlins need to be reporting to. If you don't have gremlins reporting to you, then you ain't part of taking over the streets. You know what I'm saying? You're just letting them run wild if ain't none of them reporting to you. You're just letting them, you're letting you, whoever you are, grown man, captain of the block, Mr. Whoever with your job, you know what I'm saying, that don't say two words to all the young bucks up and down the street that play basketball. You've seen them play basketball. You've seen them play football. Now you see them with an AR on dirt bikes. But you don't say nothing to them. But that's your army. That's your platoon. But you want to complain to us about your own platoon. Because we all live on street corners, and we all see these young boys out here. So how many of them do you know, and how many of them do you say something to, talking shit to us about them? All right, then now number three, you know what I mean? Make them report, like I said. Number three, you know what I mean? Know who the lineages are, you know what I'm saying? You know who the lineages are who spread upon this continent. Don't be talking about, you know what I mean, who foreigners are. Don't be so quick to call people foreigners when your grandfather, your grandmothers, and all them was from islands. You know what I'm saying? Just because you don't know no island talk and you ain't got no accent don't mean you ain't from no island, okay, Negroes out here that don't know who you are. So, yes, that's what I'm going to say to y'all. You know what I mean? So that's how we going to take control of the streets. And then last thing, stop letting your children be LGBTQBBBQBBXYZ123 and me too and all them. You know what I'm saying? That's crime too. Remember, that's crime too, I said. So I'm going to lay y'all on that one, man. I ain't going to be all night. You know what I mean? I'll be on Wednesday. Shout out to you guy when he said he was bringing it to you raw like cocaine in Bolivia. I'm Clever One, one half for the Booze Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your grandkids need they ass beat for not having no manners at Dave and Buster's. Check your satellites.
Yeah, what? Let's go to, you know, Resolve now, okay? And to our three people. I got to go to, of course, Key in the Room, Mr. Jetty A-Track. You have 2 minutes for your final resolve.
Man, shout out to Clev One, man. I love that brother. Real talk, man. Everything he said is exactly what I resonate with as far as being on the same type frequency, you know what I'm saying? It's all about accountability, folks. This is not a thing that's going to take one solution as it's going to be like the huge Band-Aid that's going to wrap around this whole entire thing as like the full universal remedy. It's going to cost for people to sit down, be humble, a lot of ego death, and it's going to be to reach out to, the youth, your platoons, because let's keep it all the way funky. A lot of the cats are talking. A lot of the cats that's talking ain't got the heart to do with half of these kids out here is doing misled. You got army out here misled. You feel me? Utilize that. Utilize. Inform these children. You know what I'm saying? Inform them. allow them to understand that there's more to life and to the whole bigger picture than what they're doing. But if they had that spirit within them, train it. And be the beacon in which they could be able to look at with respect as far as what a real OG is. And that's all I got
all right.
to say. 8-Track off.
You heard that. Continue to listen, Mr. 8-Track. And, of course, we go to our Hall of Famer. 2 minutes for Resolve.
All right. So solution time. First of all, you got to take your soul back. You can't do that until you take your mind back. Any type of thought that someone brings, where everything white and everything other than black is evil and bad, something's wrong with that. Okay? The solution is stop allowing ourselves to be separated from each other. We're the original people that's native to the planet, irregardless to wherever you are. Learn
All right.
to protect
All right.
ourselves and each other. Learn to protect ourselves and each other and stop allowing other people to take our resources away from our people to the precious ornaments underneath this earth that we was here first. Stop feeding this nonsense to the future generation of babies. Teach them the truth about who and what they are and what we come from. No other people on this planet that can go through the hell that we went through and still survive. Now, far as these black devils out here, yeah, we was at war with them long before we came here. And we're going to have to deal with that. Okay? We're going to have to deal with that. And don't spare them just because they look just like us. Okay? And, yes, it's time for to set up these community organizations and time to chase out evil in all forms in regards to wherever it comes from. Thank you.
All right. And, of course, I'm going to save the last person, you know, after I do Ngozi time. I haven't had the final thoughts and wrap up this show because he's earned that spot. Our man, class of 2013, y'all. How about that? Charter member of our network, Mr. Simeon Myers. I'll be back for Ngozi time.
Thank you.
to your mighty, mighty, mighty O'Neill twins from St. Louis, Missouri, my mother and father's favorite gospel group, and to them personally, may they rest in peace. Tonight, I want to thank all the folks around the world for an outstanding championship tonight for our network. I want to congratulate myself on my 52nd WBNN All-Time Connection Record, honoring Darlene Lawrence for the greatest championship that ever was. Thank you, guys, and my second consecutive. Yes, yes, of course, you know, I go into business. I'm going to let Simeon finish his dissertation. He's going to take us home because he earned that right. I'll be able to present him faultless for you guys. Tomorrow night, definitely shout us out to a young lady that I know personally. Her name is Greer. Thank you so much for being part of the show tonight, listening. Really love and care for you very, very much. Thank you for calling into the one and only Bevy Nation out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, of course, tomorrow night, we come back on with our poetry. You better believe it. I say the best spoken word artist on the internet. His name is Jeffrey Sanders. Goes by the moniker Mr. Boston. The Boston Chronicles. Tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time on the one and only Beverly Nation. WBN has Instagram and Twitter. so much, right? And then goes the underscore time. All of Dudley Malay and goes to Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ole De Lay. That goes with my gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malewa, and Gosi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio to support us on a constant basis tonight. Now we're going to take it home with the 2023 charter member of the one and only Beverly Nation. His show started on February 7th, 2013. The outstanding honorable, Mr. Simeon Myers.
Yes, sir. I want to thank everybody just for coming on tonight. And once again, what I'm leaving you with is that we have to acknowledge our foundational Black American roots and our culture as descendants of slaves in America. And we do have a culture. And a lot of us, we can chase our lineage in this country far back. A lot of our people are in the 1870s census. We can chase our people back from North Carolina, South Carolina, the medicinal swamp, Savannah, Georgia, all over. So we have to learn how to gatekeep our culture and understand that we have a lot to celebrate about our culture, and also get on code with each other. Get on code. It's very important to stay on code with each other. And this right, staying on code will keep us safe. It will keep our children safe, and begin to talk to these young people and understand that nobody's coming to save us as Black people. We have to save ourselves. That is the only way. So stay in the children's ears. Keep them activities. Women, if you're single, get your children around other Black men. Black men that are leaders and that are doing something positive. And that's what I leave you guys.
Jesus, to give me water. Jesus, to give me water.